Unit 8. Interview.
Passage 1. Chinese English alternating interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
今天，我们可以毫不夸张地说。 计算机已无所不在，先进的高科技产品似乎随处可见。我们的办公室、学校和住所都有，但是相对来说，计算机的发展历史比较短，直到20世纪40年代晚期，计算机才从专业的科学仪器发展为商品。保罗·塞卢奇先生在他的《现代计算的历史》一书中探讨了几乎鲜为人知的计算发展史。以下是对保罗·塞卢奇先生的一次采访。塞卢奇先生，现代计算的历史究竟从何时开始的？
Well, computing is something that people have been doing for centuries. But I like to think that the beginnings of the modern era of computing really began around 1945, when the first computer was completed that used vacuum or electronics to do the calculations instead of gears and mechanical parts.
那台计算机的性能如何呢?
Well, it was quite unreliable. The tubes burned out frequently. But if you could keep it running for an hour or two, you could do more work in that hour than you could with a mechanical device running all day.
你在书中告诉读者，计算机其实是20世纪40年代后期由专业科学仪器转变为商业产品的。那么是谁促成了这种转变的呢？
A lot of people have claimed credit. And there is a bit of controversy over this concept. What really happened was people who built these early computers conceived of the idea of storing the program, the instructions that tell the computer what to do internally, in its own memory. It is a very ingenious idea that seems obvious in retrospect.
塞卢奇先生，在你所著的《现代计算史》中， 你论述了经济和冷战对计算的影响，那么你在书中写到了哪些影响呢?
We today enjoy a wealth of consumer products that use silicon chips that cost sometimes a few dollars. I have one on my wristwatch. Our pocket calculators cost a few dollars or are even given away. It is hard to imagine that the first silicon chips were very delicate, very expensive devices. No one was quite sure if they were going to work at all. But the United States Air Force faced a problem of trying to miniaturize guidance electronics for its missiles and entered into a number of contracts with companies that were making silicon chips, and the result was they improved the reliability. They allowed the companies to set up production lines that eventually drove down the cost. So today's $2 calculator is the product of a multi-million dollar Air Force project of the early 1960s.
在计算机科技领域，最大的公司显然是国际商务机器公司，即IBM公司。 那么IBM公司有哪些功过是非呢?
IBM was a manufacturer of punch cards, equipment that used mechanical readers, and electromagnetic replays, and they were very, very successful. Around the late 1940s, they saw these experimental electronic computers coming along, and they made a very brilliant decision to go with the electronic computer. It sounds obvious in hindsight. But if you were there at the time, it might have seemed a very, very risky decision. But they did it, and they became dominant in the computer industry. That domination lasted right up into the 1980s, until a little upstart company called Microsoft came along, and a few other companies came along. That kind of knocked them out of that position because they failed to see that the little personal computers, which were kind of hobbyist kits in the early days, were going to have such an enormous potential once the bugs were ironed out of them.
塞卢奇先生，我的最后一个问题是，当今计算机面临的主要问题是什么？
There used to be big problems of reliability, just getting them to work at all. Now they work. They are reliable and relatively cheap. Now the problems of politics and the social uses of computers have sort of bubbled up to the surface, now that those other problems have been taken care of. So we have questions of monopoly use or domination of the infrastructure of computers and communications, censorship on the Internet, the relationship of the Internet to more traditional forms of communication and information, like newspapers and radio. These are all political issues, really. Passage 2. English-Chinese alternating interpretation. Text interpreting. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
China has held many cultural exchange activities in Europe and other parts of the world. The coming China Culture Week in London is the largest cultural exhibition of its kind. May I know the purpose of staging such an exhibition?
我们已经进入了一个新的千年。文化周是庆祝新纪元到来的大型活动之一。我们还希望这次展览能帮助英国人民以及来自世界其他地区的人们了解中国的今昔。同时，文化周也是东西方文化的一次沟通。我们希望这次活动能够促进中英两国和两国文化之间的交流和了解，缩短东西方之间的差距。
What will be displayed within the 7 short days?
我们选择了一些反映中国文化精髓的主题，有古代的，也有现代的。活动分成展览和表演两大类。
Could you tell me more about the exhibition?
我们要展示的内容包括中国在教育、文化、建筑和科技方面所取得的成就，介绍首都北京和东方明珠上海的新貌。我们还要展出中国陶器、京剧戏装、中国编钟和中国出土文物的精品。最后一场展览将展示被联合国科教文组织列入世界遗产名录的21处景点及其图片和物品，如莫高窟复制品、出土于秦始皇陵的青铜战车等。
What about the performance?What do we expect to see?
在展出期间，我们将安排三场演出，有编钟音乐会，有民间歌舞演出，有中国历史上各朝代的服饰表演和现代服装表演。
Most of British people have little knowledge of Chinese chimes. Could you take a few minutes and introduce your chimes to us?
编钟是我们古人所用的一种严肃乐器，将要展出的编钟是1978年出土的。研究表明，这些编钟为战国早期的礼仪乐器，大约出自2400年前伟大思想家孔子和伟大诗人屈原生活的时代。
How many chimes will be displayed?
你们将看到65个编钟，全是以青铜铸造，八音度的音域很宽，是音域最宽、定音最全的大乐器。每个编钟都可以发出有着不同高低音的两种音调， 这表明当时人们已具有高水平的音乐表演能力和高超的乐器制作工艺。与这些编钟同时出土的还有其他124种古乐器，如瑟、笙、箫、鼓。这次我们带来了一部分这类古代乐器参展。
How do these chimes sound to the modern ear?
编钟可以很好的同中国民乐队协奏，也能和谐的同西方交响乐队协奏。中国编钟乐队选择、整理和重新编排了一些古乐作品。有些参加的乐器年代甚至比编钟还要久远，如3000年前商代的青铜鼓和8000年前的吴阳鼓哨。
What about the Peking Opera costumes to be displayed?
欧洲是交响乐之乡，也是歌剧之乡，是许多杰出作曲家的摇篮。中国也有歌剧，那就是京剧。京剧起源于200年前清朝时期的北京。京剧是一种集歌剧表演、歌唱、音乐、舞蹈和武术于一体的表演艺术。我们的服装展览会将展示这个东方歌剧历时200年的发展史，以及源自清朝后期的舞台服饰。服饰设计采用了夸张性和象征性的手法，色彩明亮鲜艳，用料独特，裁剪别致。另一场展览将展出600套服饰，其中有秦汉以来不同朝代的古装，有我国少数民族服装，也有现代服饰。我国大陆的名模将登台表演，展示我国服装业和服装设计师的成就。
Thank you very much for the introduction. I wish the coming China Culture Week a complete success.
谢谢，我期待着在展览会上与您再次见面。
Extra text for practice. Passage 1. Chinese English alternating interpretation. Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into English and Chinese.
加拿大通信专家马歇尔·麦克卢汉一生中从未碰过个人电脑。麦克卢汉于1979年逝世，他对媒体的研究以及他对人们和社会的影响至今仍发挥着作用。美国高科技专家保罗·列文森与麦克卢汉教授相识，他在自己所著的《数字化的麦克卢汉：进入信息化千年的引导者》一书中探讨了麦克卢汉对媒体的研究以及他对大众和社会的影响。以下是对保罗·列文森的一次采访。列文森先生，你在所著的《数字化的麦克卢汉：进入信息化千年的引导者》一书中探讨了马歇尔·麦克卢汉对媒体的研究以及他对大众和社会的影响。麦克卢汉教授是一位来自加拿大的通信专家，一生中他从未碰过个人电脑，可他为什么会是一名如此重要的人物呢？
He did his writing in the decades of 1950s through 1970s. And those decades, of course, were the first years of television. He was the first thinker to really look at television as something that had a serious impact upon our society. Interestingly, although he was writing about television, an enormous amount of what he said has even more applicability to the internet age. For example, he said that television was turning the world into a global village. What he meant by that is that when everyone watches the same thing on the television screen, that group which is watching the television program is a community of sorts. It's like the people in a village all hearing and seeing the same thing. In contrast, now in the new millennium, when people communicate on the web and through the internet, They are not only doing and hearing and seeing the same thing, they are also participating, communicating among each other. So the notion of village becomes much more meaningful and real in our digital age.
所不同的是，电视是一种单向的媒体，而因特网是双向的。
That's right. There is the crucial difference right there.Most media in the 20th century, in fact, all of the major media of the 20th century, radio, motion pictures, television, were and are like newspapers and books, one-way media. The telephone, which of course was invented in 1876, is a two-way medium. But it is a two-way personal medium. There is nothing public.Or there shouldn't be much public about a telephone conversation. What makes the internet so different is that it is public, but it is also interactive and two-way.
我们怎样来确保我们所拥有的是一个地球村而不是一个国际贫民窟呢？因为因特网可能有危险。一说起村庄，我就想到这是一个友好的地方。而因特网并不是一个不折不扣的友善之地，是吗？
The village itself we might think of as being friendly, but even with traditional villages, I'm sure a fair share of villages had one or two psychotic persons. So the internet is really a magnification of human life. So unsurprisingly, yes,There are some nutcases on the internet. There are hackers and other types of criminals on the internet, and we do have to work hard to be aware of those problems and do what we can to keep them in check. At the same time, we have to resist the temptation of turning the internet into a police state or into an arena where the rights and freedoms that we enjoy offline.Are curtailed online in the interest of keeping it safe. There is always that sort of balance. Yes, we want it to be safe, but yes, we also want it to be free.
马歇尔·麦克卢汉看到了一个人人都能成为出版商的时代，他指的是复印机。今天我们有了因特网。它能使每个人都能成为出色的出版者，但不是编辑。人人都是出版者，但周围却没有编辑。难道这不是一个问题吗？
The traditional value of the editor is in some way to stipulate and vouch for the quality of the publication. Yes, there is a concern that when anyone can put anything on a web page,There is no safeguard for the quality. But on the other hand, and there is always another hand, I think the reason why McLuhan celebrated first the Xerox, allowing every author to be a publisher, and why I'm now so pleased that the web is even expanding and amplifying that, is there is also the danger of editors keeping things out of the mix, things that are good.What the web does is it removes the middleman and allows the creator to communicate directly with his or her audience. And on balance, I think that's a good thing. There will be more trash available, but there will also be more treasure that would otherwise be hidden from public view. Passage 2. English-Chinese alternating interpretation.Listen to the tape and interpret the following passage alternatively into Chinese and English.
How many traditional operas are there in China?
各类传统戏剧总数达300种左右，有些全国知名，如京剧、评剧、粤剧、粤剧。其中最受欢迎的京剧已有200多年的历史了。
How did traditional Chinese operas come into being?
中国传统戏剧在其长期的形成和发展过程中，借鉴了音乐、舞蹈、诗词、美术、杂技、武术等艺术形式，最后发展成以戏剧情节表演为主导的一种兼收并蓄而又独立的艺术形式。
Almost all modern operas originated from some kind of ancient performing art.
是的，歌剧是由原始歌舞发展而来，包括祭祀神灵、祖先，以及庆祝丰收和胜利的歌舞。据历史记载，取悦王公贵族的专业艺术家早在春秋战国时期便已出现。西汉时期，宫廷和民间盛行舞蹈、音乐、杂技和手技等表演，以后出现了歌舞剧，并加入动作和对话来表现剧情。
As far as I know, Chinese operas first appeared in the South.
不完全对，这样说吧，宋金时期出现了杂剧，其中最为突出的是南剧，通常叫做南戏，主要出现在闽浙一带。现代戏剧带有一些明显的南戏成分。元朝的杂剧达到了鼎盛时期，出现了一大批经典作品和杰出的剧作家。到了明朝，杂剧分化成不同的地方戏剧，有着不同的唱腔。
The life of drama lies in its development and renovation.
完全正确，中国戏剧到了清朝更加繁荣，同时也进一步地区化，产生了不同的唱腔，如高腔、昆腔、秦腔、梆子、二黄、西皮等。到了清朝中期，北京的戏班子将二黄和西皮融合起来，同时还采用了其他唱腔的一些成分，推出了一种新的皮黄调，就是现在京剧的前身。
To what do you attribute the sustained popularity of traditional Chinese operas?
在长期的发展过程中，中国戏剧形成了鲜明的民族特色，受到广大群众的欢迎，也得到政府强有力的支持。自1949年以来，中国传统戏剧得到了前所未有的发展，全国各地现有剧团1573个，演员达到86000多名，其中京剧团为135个，京剧演员11000名左右。
In the West, operas are losing young audiences. What is the situation in China?
在变化了的生活方式和大众传媒的冲击下，传统戏剧在一些大城市失去了许多年轻的观众，但是传统戏剧依然是最受我国人民欢迎的娱乐活动之一。
随你走向世界，爱未来，爱未来。